And a good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for being on board. We do appreciate the goodness of the Lord and appreciate you being with us here on a Friday afternoon. And I've been worried all week, as bad as the interstate has been. I've been worried about how people would get through here this weekend. And sadly, my fears have come true. We got a lot of mess this afternoon on the roads. Okay, let's see if we can break it down and tell you about it. Okay, I-26 westbound. Oh, my goodness. It's been like this every day this week. The good news is they're not working on the Green River Bridge today, but the traffic slowdown begins before you get to the Hendersonville exit, heading west on I-26. It'll get back up just a little bit right past the exit, and then it slows down from back this side of the rest or the way station, and it's going to stay slow till you get up to around Highway 25, the Fletcher exit, and it turns to very slow, back to slow through the straight around the Meritor, and then back to very slow around the airport. Then you're back to slow again till you get past 146. As you start up the hill, it'll go back to moderate, and then you'll go green once you get under the parkway. But don't get too excited, because it's not going to last. No, it's not going to last. There is congestion, pretty bad, especially if you're going to go westbound. Congestion in the junction, and it's out past 44, out past the way station. And then there's a wreck, I-40 westbound, and it has got everything around the Candler exit gommed up, westbound, all the way up the big curve, all the way to Newfound. Matter of fact, it is off the pace all the way to the West Canton exit. Yep, and it sure is, all the way that far to out there at Ken Wilson's Ford. Yeah, all the way to there. It's moderate. Once you get out of the big curve, it's slow all the way up to the big curve, and then it's moderate from there out to Ken Wilson's there, and then from there, Champion Drive, and then it's up to speed. If we're going to go further west, the good news is a lot of people heading to Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, Sevierville this weekend. The good news is that the traffic is moving pretty well, and I've seen it a lot worse on a Friday afternoon in Sevierville, Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg. I've seen it a lot worse than it is right now. It's not great, but it's I've seen it a lot worse. So, but it's clear between here and there once you get past Newfound Road westbound. We've got issues on I-40 down this over the mountain, but it's coming up the mountain down around Marion, West Marion. There's a wreck, crash on I-40. It's got things slowed up in the Providence community, and it is backed up, well, between the Old Ford exit and the Marion exit, that stretch right through there, westbound. It has got it. It is very slow, is what they're telling us. Everything else on 40, I believe, is going to be all right. Now, let's try to get you in town what we got. It's about a normal day in town. There is a crash on Tunnel Road. It's on 70, which it would be just to the east of 240. Is that, what's that called? And that's over at Prestige Subaru, right through there. Yeah, that's where the... that's where it's at, and it's got traffic backed up back toward OT. Okay, so it's in the westbound side of Tunnel Road. Also, the bridge is okay today. No weight going up. If you're going eastbound or westbound, there's no weight on 26 that way. Just off the pace a little eastbound as you come through the bridge in town there. The normal slowdown around 240. And let's go back the other way now. Let's take it, and we're going to try to go eastbound I-26, okay? It's slow backed up onto the interstate, and they are sitting in the turning lane waiting, trying to get on I-26. It's backed up almost to exit 44. Slow traffic waiting. Once you get into the intersection, it's even slower. And, of course, 240 feeds down into that, going to feed into that clog. You're going to be very slow in the interchange itself. Then you're back to slow up past 191 and out to a wreck. The wreck is near the bridge on the French Broad River where I-26 crosses the French Broad. From the bridge, you will go moderate traffic up to the parkway. And then, believe it or not, you are smooth sailing. Looks like to me, I don't see any other issues. Nope, I believe you're fine as long as you're going eastbound I-26 this afternoon. There is heavier than usual traffic in Hendersonville this afternoon on both sides of I-26, I-64. I just came through there, and it is, it's pretty backed up. I'm a little surprised to see it showing on the map here like it is. Remind you that there's still road construction on Highway 64 near Pisgah Forest. It's near Brevard Academy, and they're widening that right there, putting a turning lane in near Larry's Auto, and that is got traffic backed up right now. It's out past Pisgah Forest Baptist Church toward Pisgah Forest, and it is back to Whispering Pines Development if you're heading west on 64. So there is a wait, okay, as they widen that road. All right, what else do we know about? Let's check Toxway right quick. It's been bad. They've been doing the shoulders. But I was up there this morning, and it looked like they're finished. So I think they are. I believe they have finished that. So everything there looking all right. Let's quickly go look and see what else we can find. Let's drop off the mountain. Spartanburg, you're doing well this afternoon. Greenville is off the pace. So we're going to call it very slow from Highway 101 down to around Highway 14, southbound I-85, and then slow from there to Pelham. If you're going the other direction, you're going to run into very slow traffic before you get to 385. And once you clear 385, it's going to go back to slow, and then it'll moderate, and you'll be fine. There is a slow spot between 101 and 290 and up around the Duncan community, and I don't know. It's not off the pace much, but it is off the pace right through there, but I don't know why. Okay? I don't see any wrecks this afternoon in Greenville. So I spoke too soon. Okay. There's one on I-85 right below Pelham. So that's part of what's got this so very slow today. Off the pace. It's usually slow, but it's worse today. There's also one down at Five Forks off Woodruff Road, 146. There's one right there. Yeah, so if you're traveling, there are wrecks. I spoke too soon. I just hadn't looked far enough. I was hopeful. Log Shoal Road, there's a wreck just below the Southern Connector there. And, wreck there. What else? Well, I believe that's going to be all of them. But anyway, we are glad to have you with us. We are grateful to the Lord for the day and appreciate all that the Lord has done and all the ways that the Lord has helped us. We give Him the glory, and we mean that. We give Him the glory and appreciate all that He is doing. Let's quickly move over, and let me go right quick. Right on Tunnel Road, 70, Oteen area. Yes, it's near Prestige Subaru. It's where that wreck's at. And it's in the eastbound coming into town. It's right there around Prestige Subaru. Got it backed up back toward Oteen. That's where that wreck's at. All right, so let me tell you here. The Asheville Airport at 4:54 reported 78 degrees. And, you know, maybe our thermometers are not that much different because we're at 76.1. So we're only 1.9 degrees off of them. Yeah. It does vary. We've been running about 3 degrees cooler. I don't know. We're a little higher, not but much, but we're a little higher. We're up the river, so we are a little higher than they are. But again, not but much. But we've been watching those temperatures, that differential between us and there. It's not that far. But then, if you look at all the other thermometers, like right now, I'm looking at one. The Guyon Farm is showing 77. We're at 76. There's another one at 75. So, yeah, that happens. There's a 78. There's a 75. There's one up toward Dunn's Rock. It's showing a 72. So, you know, and the temperature does. Depends on what it's around. There's just a whole lot of variations. But know this, when you take the temperature, the sun is never supposed to shine on the thermometer or on the probe. And to get an accurate temperature, you take it with the probe facing north, shielded from the sunshine in an enclosure that does not draw heat. Typically wood that's painted white. Oh, I'm very serious. They're very picky about it. And also, it's about eye level. It's where you take it at. There's even a regulation for it. It's like, what is it? I don't know. But it's about eye level. 40 inches or something like that is where you're supposed to take the temperature reading at. And so you don't put it on the side of your house, and you don't put it in the sunshine. And so it's hard because, you know, the house can, you know, like in the wintertime, the house is warm and it can, you know, affect it. So it's hard to find a place to put the thermometer, but the sunshine won't work. I can tell you that. I do know that one. The sunshine just doesn't work. That's when you see some of these signs on, like on the Chinese restaurant, that probe is in the sunshine. And that's why that thing will run 10 to 15 degrees hotter than it really is, because it's seeing, you know, the sunshine. All right. What did I say about Greenville Spartanburg? Did I get that far? Did I mention GSP? I don't think I did. I don't think I got that far. 83 is what they're reporting at 4:53 this afternoon. 83 degrees with a 48% relative humidity. So about 7 degrees. That would be an average. That's pretty close to what we would normally see. So let's see what I can tell you. There is a little chance of some showers moving through tomorrow afternoon. All right? Tomorrow afternoon. But it's not much. It's only 30%. Here's what you're going to notice, though, that the high temperature today, we won't see this again. It's 76 degrees. We're not going to see this again for a while. Let me do a roll call, okay? And let me just tell you what we're talking about. All right, so these are the highs starting tomorrow. We're looking at 68, 62 Sunday, 68 Monday, 69 Tuesday, 71 Wednesday, 70 Thursday, 67 Friday. Looking at lows, watch this. 61 tonight, but tomorrow night, Saturday night, 41. With a north wind blowing 10 to 13, gusting as high as 18, you're going to think that there's nothing between here and the North Pole but a barbed wire fence and two strands of it's on the ground. I'm telling you, it's going to be cold. Just the way it feels. Sunday night, 41, still a north wind. Monday night, 42, it moderates. Tuesday night, 44. Wednesday night, 46. By Thursday, we finally get a little warmer, 50. That's the overnight low, okay? So a carbon copy, other than that 30% chance of rain tomorrow, and that's when this front passes. Other than that, you're going to see October weather. Yeah, October weather. And truthfully, it's a little late. It's been a little warm. Yeah, well, today's 15th. Typically, now this is going back into the 90s. It would be today that we would fire the boiler. Just automatically, you fired the boiler on the 15th of October. And there would be some cool mornings that you wished you'd had it cranked before that. But you haven't needed it this time, have you? And then we'd run it usually about the 15th of May. Of course, that hasn't happened either. And so, you know, just things change. And so we've had later falls and earlier springs and warmer temperatures. And by the way, I'm not going to get to be part of it, but there's a conference call 20th, and it does the outlook, the winter outlook. I'm going to see if I can get somebody on that with our meteorologist team. But right now, from what we're seeing and what we're looking at, it looks like it's setting up. The winter is setting up for a El Nino. So I don't know. I'm just saying what I'm seeing right now. We've got whether that's the pattern that's kind of right now. It looks like that's what it's going to be. I hope not, but that's what it looks like. Just saying. The 15th day of October, WGCR is sponsored by the 6 Perry children in memory of their parents, Albert and Lois Perry. Today would have been their 72nd wedding anniversary. They're thankful to their parents for raising them to honor and respect God. And they quote 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And it was my honor to pastor Miss Lois for a very long time and her husband Albert, and officiated both of their home goings. And we appreciate the Perry family a great deal. The network budget today is being sponsored by Jacob and Joanna Warren. And it's in loving memory of Jacob's dad, Dean Warren. This is the anniversary of his home going. They're thankful for a godly heritage and thankful God is everything he said he would be. And so thank you to the Warrens. Thank you to the Perrys. Both special days today for these families. Thank you so much. And just a side note, it was, I don't know how many years now, be 29 years ago today, we Anchor Baptist Broadcasting Association closed on WTOO 1380 in Asheville, North Carolina. Remember it well. We were waiting on the attorneys, waiting on all the signatures, and so we went to lunch. And because we were waiting, it was October the 15th, 1992, I had a bag phone. You may remember those? They had a battery in it, big old bag phone. And we went in a Chinese place over at Westgate, sat down, and I put that thing up on the table. And I kept waiting for the call, waiting for the call, waiting for the call. And sure enough, that thing rang. And everybody in that restaurant stopped and watched me pick that thing up and say hello. They even went in the back and got the cooks, and they all come out and watched me talk on the telephone. That's not ancient history, guys. That's 1992. Well, it was one of the first bag phones. We had this station, and so we had a cell phone we broadcast with. We didn't use it like that, you know, just to talk, but we did broadcast from it. We got our first one. We got a cell phone for the dedication of the 280 connector. And we broadcast the governor's speech. I was on the platform with the governor of North Carolina, Governor Martin. And we broadcast whatever that dedication of Highway 280. And that was the first ever cell phone a link that we ever had. And I don't know what year that was. I don't even remember. But anyway, it was that long ago today. And of course, WTOO, I gave it the call letters WKJV. And they went on up to 25,000 watts. And now they all, not only WKJV, but WKJW 1010 in Black Mountain. And we kept the station for about 5 years, I think it was. And then we turned it over to International Baptist Missions Outreach and Brother Wendell Runyon. Yeah, we turned it over for $1 and the debt. Yeah, that's what we turned it over, $1 and the debt, what we owed on it. We had paid about $100,000 on it in 5 years. And so anyway, glad that it's still carrying the gospel. Amen? All right. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. Just a little nostalgia there for you. Let me drop back and say good afternoon to Anchorage, Englewood, Miami, Augusta, Blue Ridge, and I'm not sure how to say that, Chillicothe, Chillicothe. Chillicothe, maybe. Maybe somebody will say it and I'll recognize it. Lexington, Kies, Germany. Plymouth, Raleigh, Silva, Weaverville, Brevard, Hendersonville, Arden, Akron. I'd like to know where that's at. Collingwood. What about that? Collingwood, Ontario, Canada. What about that? That's my middle name. Yeah. Greer, Spartanburg, Fort Mill, Greenville, Spartanburg, Lancaster, Houston, United Kingdom, Europe, Madison, and Menomonee, and I don't think that's the way you say it, Menomonee, Falls. I never can remember how you say. I'll ask Miss Horton when she gets back. She's from Wisconsin. And but glad to have all these folks on with us this afternoon. And then visual this afternoon, visual radio. Kathy, Daryl, Gary, I should say, and Dolores, Akbar in Pakistan, Joyce, Gregory, Vanny in the Philippines, Renee, and Joel in the Philippines. So we got an international group with us this afternoon. Thank you for being with us. And for, we were talking about, my grandkids asked me coming in, they said, Papa, you going to change your shirt before you go on the radio? Used to be, we laughed about it. I used to tell everybody, my mama said I had a face for radio. The joke behind that is you can't see who's on the radio. So the day was that I'd come in overalls and an old straw hat or whatever that I was working in. I'd just run in. Whether I'd shaved or not, didn't matter. I sound the same. See, all that's changed. Well, we have been working today, and so hopefully you can't see all the dirt that's on me. But, we have been, had a work crew of 10 up at Camp Buck today. And so, yeah, we've got a lot accomplished, and we're grateful to the Lord for His blessing. And we start taking shingles off Monday morning, and with the demolition begins. So we're very excited about that, and we're grateful for His blessing in all the ways He's. But we got several things that are coming together all at the same time. It's just the way it is. By the way, the Weather Channel is doing a piece on woolly worms. Well, there's a bunch of different predictions. But have you noticed the color of the woolly worms? They're black. They're solid black. The woolly worms are solid black. Yeah. I've had two or three people just about scared them. They said, oh, no. Well, hey, I don't know. I do know this, that I would not be surprised. Okay? I would not be surprised if we don't have a bad one. Well, just given everything else, you know, it just seems like that insult often follows injury. So this seems like that's kind of where we are. 4412, thank you. God bless Israel, Pastor Barton and Anchor Broadcasting. We always look forward to that little transmission each day. Thank you so much. God bless you. Appreciate that. Well, what can I tell you? Have you seen the antique tractor thing at the fairgrounds? Yeah, antique tractors, and we've got friends that are here. The Jeremy Martin's parents from Tennessee brought a couple of antique John Deere's, and they are showing those. And every afternoon, about 2 o'clock, they have a tractor parade. And all the antique tractors cranking, and they go around the fairgrounds and the tractor parade. And then tomorrow, they're having an antique tractor pull. Yeah, not the big old hot rods, the old timey ones. And they're going to be pulling. But you know, that show is more than just antique tractors. Oh, they've got homemade everything and vendors, and they got all that stuff. It's just a good fall thing, you know, a good taste of fall. And so, good place to go this weekend. Yeah, but I think it only runs in the daytime. I don't think there's any nighttime activity. I think it's daytime only. The Blue Ridge meeting's tonight. I want to mention that. The Blue Ridge meeting tonight, the youth meeting. And so that is to be mentioned. And I think some of our young people are going, and so that's a good thing. All right. Well, what else was I going to share with you? I got a bunch of things I was wanting to get on the list here this afternoon, but I found another family that has another family that was displaced and that qualify for some displacement funding. And so we talked to them just before I went on the air. So let me just kind of explain to you how it works. And I don't guess we really got the word out like we should have, especially for people who don't listen to the station. If you were displaced because of the flood in Transylvania County. Now, it's just Transylvania, because I know there's a bunch in Haywood. But in Transylvania County, If you were displaced due to the flood, whether you owned or rented, then you are probably eligible for some displacement funding. Okay? And so basically, if you have not received displacement funding from Anchor and you are on the county's list of residents that were displaced, then you would qualify. Okay? And the Anchor Fund takes care of immediate needs, and it also takes care of interim needs. And so, in the meantime, interim, between, you know, the first night in the hotel and getting back in your house, the interim needs. And so the fund at Anchor does that. And our local board, of course, makes those decisions. There is also a fund, and it's called Change the World Relief Organization, and that's the one the county chose to point the charitable contributions toward. And that fund is primarily for the gap needs. So I said, explain that, okay. If you did or did not get FEMA funding, let's say that you got it, but it wasn't enough. Okay, well, that would be, you'd have a gap. Your insurance didn't pay, or didn't pay much, or didn't pay enough. And so you see what I'm, see where I'm going with that? Now, the fund doesn't pay out everything, so there's no way that you'll get everything back. That's just out of the question. But we may be able to take some of it. In other words, a percentage of your loss. See what I'm saying? And I'm not even going to get into numbers because it depends on how many we have and how much money there is. But a percentage. So you might get a percentage of your loss back. Okay, so that's kind of how that works. And that can be, that can be any type of loss. It can be the loss of your car, the loss of your furniture, the law, you know, whatever. But we take into account everything that FEMA did for you, everything that private individuals did for you, everything that other ministries did for you, and everything that the Small Business Administration did for you. All that has to be declared. And then we look at that, and then based upon that, that we, you may be eligible for some additional funding, okay? Some folks, you know, they're not back in their houses, and they won't be for a while. I talked to a family yesterday, 9 months out, 9 months. 9 months out before they can get back in their house. It's going to take that long to get it fixed. So, yeah, I know it. Yeah, so anyway, just let you know that if you have displaced families that receive damage, whether you did or whether you didn't get FEMA, unless it's all paid for. If you, now, if everything's paid for and you got, and you didn't lose anything, everything's paid for, then no, you wouldn't be eligible. But if you have a loss, the difference between what people gave you, what the insurance gave you, what FEMA gave you, and what you, you know, what you lost versus what we were compensated, you may be eligible for a part of that. Okay? So, okay. There's, okay, thank you. Appreciate that. All right, let me mention this, because I'm changing gears here. If we have families that lost furniture, and what made me think of it, I've got a gentleman who did. He lost some furniture. We were able to, through our warehouse, help him with some furniture. I got a nice recliner and some other things. If we can, and so that goes into the intermediate portion of it. If you lost furniture, bedding, whatever, we have used furniture. And so it may be that we can give you a disaster voucher and you can come shop our thrift store, which has used furniture and all those things and housewares, and you can come shop free. Okay, so just want to make sure everybody knows that. And I would strongly recommend that you come there first before you go other places and see what we have. And then from there, you know, if you've been given money, then save that to see what we have. And then if we don't have what you need, then go buy what you need. But it might be you can get what we gave, what we have for free. Okay, so just saying. And let me say thank you to those who continue to donate to our thrift store. It's called the Mission Store. And 7806 says, came by the warehouse for the first time today to donate an item. The crew were super. Thanks for all you do. Thank you so much. 4 exclamation marks behind super. Well, the bad part was I had most of the crew gone. I had 10 at Camp Buck today. And so, yeah, we were very short-staffed, and I had 2 that were off. And so, yeah, we were short-staffed today. But anyway, thank you. I'm glad it was a pleasant experience. And just mention, we cannot price anybody's items. Anybody who tells you they can, they need to read the IRS code a little closer. I can't say, if you gave a couch, I cannot say that that couch was worth $50 and give you a receipt for $50. That's not how it works. Someone said, well, somebody else did it. Well, again, I don't want to start a prison ministry, okay, especially on the inside. So just, we're not doing that. And what we can do is receipt you for a couch. And then you can decide what it was worth. But we do have paperwork that will tell you what the range of a couch is worth. In other words, couches range, let's say they range from $100 to $500, depending on the texture, the condition, the age, I don't know. But there'll be a range. Well, we've got that information, but anybody can pull it up. And the same stuff that's published, you can pick it up on most of the nonprofits' websites. Goodwill, I know it's on their sites. I think it is on, not sure it's on Salvation Army. Matter of fact, I know it is. So they have all of it on the Salvation Army site. Again, I can't say that what your couch is worth. I'm not in the furniture business. I'm not a furniture appraiser. And it's illegal for nonprofits to do that. But I can give you a receipt for a couch, and then you can price it. Based you and your tax people, you can decide what it's worth. You can find comparable items. I tell everybody, go on Facebook, go on eBay, go somewhere and find it. Go on Craigslist, find one like it, take a picture of it, take a picture of the article, put it in your file with your tax donation letter from us. And that way you have a way of establishing what you think it was worth. You need something. You need something for the government in case they come in to look. You need a basis for it. If it's something expensive, you need 3. Now, if you're something real expensive, you need 3. Now, 3 appraisals or 3, or not appraisals, but 3 comparatives, okay? Comps, 3 comps. Now, if it's very expensive, you need an appraisal. If it is a vehicle, then it depends on how you do it. Depends on what you want to do with it. Okay, here's how it works. When you give a vehicle, anything with a title, I started to say anything with a motor, but that's not true. Anything with, I think anything that you can ride. You can ride in an airplane. You can ride in a boat. You can ride in a car. Ride in a motorcycle. You can ride a four-wheeler. I think it's anything that you ride. Okay? I believe I'm right. I don't think you have to do a lawnmower. But I think anything that you ride, if you think it's worth over $500 and you plan on claiming over $500 on your tax receipt for it, then you have to, when you donate it, they will ask you that question. Is it worth more than $500? Don't be offended. It's just a question that you have to ask. You say, well, it's worth $50,000. Well, again, have to ask. Because you might not be able to claim it. Because what we do is we turn it into the IRS that you gave it. We file a 1098-C, and we file it that you gave that. But know this, if we or the nonprofit is going to sell it, that's why it's to raise money. If it's to be sold, you get to claim what it brings. And if they take it to an auction, it don't bring much, that's what you claim. You get to claim what it brought if they sold it. If they keep it and use it in the ministry, you claim the book value on it. If they pass it on to someone else free, if it's a minivan and they give it to a single mom who has no way to work and you give her a minivan, that's a benevolent contribution. And because there was no money changed hands, you can take the full tax value, the book value on the van. If it's used for a benevolent cause or if it's used in a ministry internally. But if you sell it, you can only claim what it brought. And anybody that tells you any different than that, again, they need to go read the Internal Revenue tax documents explaining the donation of vehicles. This went into place several years ago. And let me just say this to deacons and pastors and accountants. The days of you need a new roof on the church, and somebody comes out and looks at it and says, well, tell you what we'll do. If you'll give me a tax donation of $10,000, I'll put you a roof on that thing. Won't cost you a penny. Don't do it. Don't do it. You've just committed fraud. And here's where the fraud comes in. Did they give you $10,000? No. You say, well, it was worth $10,000. It might have been, but did they give you $10,000? If they didn't give you $10,000, then they don't get a receipt for $10,000. Because the IRS is going to say, where's that $10,000 he gave? And you say, well, they didn't give $10,000. They just put a new roof on for us. Doesn't matter. You receipted them for $10,000. You're short on your accounts. Where's the $10,000 at? You can go to jail for embezzlement. And would you believe that there have been businesses that when they went back on them, a church had been audited, and they go back on the business, and they pull this little deal, and they went back on the business and said, is it true that you got a tax receipt for $10,000 and blah, 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 blah? And they go, no, we didn't do that. Yeah. I mean, leave you holding the bag. You receipt cash for when you get cash, check or whatever. It's the only time. You can never value services. You can never value anything. Can a ministry pay for an appraisal? Yes. As long as the appraisal is done at arm's length. Can the ministry pay for the appraisal? It can. But it can't be your friend. It can't be an appraiser in the church. It has to be done separate, out away from you. And then you can furnish the donor with that appraisal, and you can pay for it, but that's all. Your thank you letter doesn't even mention that appraisal. Your thank you letter, your tax receipt letter, says you gave us a thus and such. And you can describe it. You can do anything you want to. You can talk it up so that it increases the value of it. It only had 10,000 miles on it, you know. And sure, that's going to increase the value. But it's the receipts for whatchamacallit, if that's what they donated. If they donated a whatchamacallit, that receipt better say it was a low mileage whatchamacallit. Don't you ever receipt money for non-money. You've committed tax fraud. And to the federal government, they don't like it when you do that. Can I just say it that way? They don't like it when you do that. No, they don't. They just don't like it. All right, let me give you a couple of things here right quick. On Friday, October the 15th, they've been working on Clear Creek Road, trying to put a sewer line in. And so what they're going to do is they're going to close down. Looks like they're going to close the road Monday, October the 18th. And it's between Carolina Village Road and Balfour Road. And it's expected to last for about a week as they go in there and try to put this new sewer line in there. And it's been delayed because of rain. So anyway, so wanted to mention that as far as traffic is concerned, if you use that area. All right. All right, so let me just kind of tell you, and you're going to get tired of hearing about the what the term we use is pavilion. The pavilion, that is the former dining hall at Camp Buck in Sapphire. And we have everything's legal, all the permits, everything is a go. And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be taking that building down. And appreciate Anthony Roberts and AR Construction. They are our general contractor. And of course, we've got a number of folks that have been involved in the plan, and subs and licensed contractors and engineers and architects. Rick Worley is our architect. But that building's being relocated to the property here at Anchor. And it'll be down in the field just behind the warehouse. And we hope to break ground here in the not-too-distant future. But we are taking the building down. It is a post and beam construction building. So it's almost made to be taken down. And so we're very excited. We were up today moving things, getting ready. Monday morning, we'll have a roofing crew come in. We'll back a dump truck in under the side of the building, and they'll start tearing away the shingles. And we'll tarp it because nothing can get wet. We got to keep all of that because everything shows. It's a wood ceiling, and everything shows from underneath. So we're going to keep all of it dry, and we'll tarp it all back, and we'll continue to take it down. And all week next week, we'll take the shingles off. We'll take all the sheetrock down. We will take all the toilets out, the fixtures, all those things, insulation, all that comes out, all the ductwork. And the only thing mechanical I've got left is the HVAC system and in the kitchen and the hood. I've got a stainless hood. It's got a fire suppression system in it. So we've already had the folks up to look at it once, and I'm still not sure the thing's not armed. And they're under tension, and when, in other words, they're under tension, they're held closed. When the tension goes away, it's like almost like a little solder type thing. If it gets hot, that thing melts. Boom! It blows that white stuff everywhere. And so we're trying not to have a discharge, so we're working on that carefully. And so anyway, we've got all that to do, so a lot of work. This program, I'm not sure what I'm going to do about this program. Just to be fair, I don't know. For the next 3 weeks, I'm just not sure what I'm going to do. I don't know if I'm going to be able to come back in that length of time. If I'm going to need to stay, I guess it just depends on what we're into. So anyway, we'll figure it out. The cell service is not good up there, but there are places that I can get that I'm sure that I can get to get the service, okay? So anyway. That's the plan right now. And so we would certainly covet an interest in your prayers. Okay. Yeah. We're a rough road in and out both directions. And we are trying to bring those big old beams out, intact. Not sure how that's going to work. I don't think I can get a full-size semi in there. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I can't. We're probably looking at fifth-wheel trailers on one-ton trucks and snake it out that way, and if necessary, have a semi sitting out at Whitewater somewhere to load everything on. I don't know. We'll figure that one out as we go because there's some big old structures got to come out of there, and I'm not sure exactly how we're going to do it, but we'll figure it out. And so, anyway, construction mode here for, the next at least 21 days. All right. Thank you for being on this afternoon. Thank you for being with us. We do appreciate it a great deal and appreciate the Lord's mercy and grace. Well, it's final. The last Kmart is shutting its doors on the 21st of November. It's up in Michigan. That's the last one. Yeah. What about that? And did you see, I just noticed that Allegiance, they are flying now from Asheville. They go up on Thursday and Sunday. They go direct to Minneapolis, St. Paul. I did not know that. And you could probably do that one pretty cheap. The thing about it is that one, you can go to the Far East. A lot of the big flights route out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and you can fly to the Far East there. So I've gone through there many times, but now you can get the Allegiant leg north. I did not know that. Okay. Appreciate you sharing that with me. All right. Well, let's go down the list right quick. I've got several folks need you to pray for. I don't understand all I know about this, but I've been asked specifically today to pray for Dagmar. Everybody in town just knows her as Daggies. Piscoforis. Daggy is in the hospital. She is on a ventilator. and she's been very sick with COVID. And so I just want to mention her by name this afternoon if I can, okay? Want to mention her by name. Also want to tell you that Brother Reggie Sadler, he's still in the nursing facility and COVID, and has been extremely sick. He's been in the hospital, back in the nursing room, and then back in the hospital. But he seems to have turned a corner, and we are grateful for that. Miss Janice Sexton is home after the liver transplant. We're grateful for that. She still has no immunity, so she's still very much quarantined, but is doing well, and of course, trying to eat and trying to get, you know, get some weight back and get some strength back. That's the big obstacle. And so please remember that as you pray. Pray for a teenage grandson who had a bicycle accident, cut the main artery in his leg, underwent surgery in Asheville, remains at Mission, and very serious. Also for a grandson that is in Mission Hospital, and they're talking about the possibility of emergency back surgery. So remember that, please, as you pray. There is a pastor in Montana. And it just says God knows what he's going through. And so let's remember that if we can. A pastor in Montana, God knows what he's going through. Thank you for bringing that up. Also, Brother Ben Carper. Brother Ben Carper had a blockage removed in his intestine day before yesterday. And so he is still in the hospital. As far as I know, they talk like it would be through the weekend possibly. So I don't know. And I don't know. But anyway, we are praying for Brother Ben Carper, certainly trying to hold him up in prayer with this intestinal issue, and pray that God would touch him there and would help him, okay? All right. That's what I know about. That's what I know about. And so please let us know anything else that we can do. And let me just mention this. I had someone call today. They didn't identify themselves, but and was trying to give me an update on Miss Daggy, on Dagmar. And if you're listening, you want to call me back, I'll take your phone call right as soon as I start playing the news. I'll take your phone call if you're listening this afternoon. I'd like some more information, you know, if that's possible, okay? Thank you again for being with us. Thank God again for his mercy. Pray for those that are bereaved, for those that soon will be, and pray that God will meet with his churches and that God will show himself mighty. And let me just mention, I come in and I found a card here on the desk, and it says, "The kindness of others is a genuine reflection of the kindness of God." And it says, "Happy Bosses Day, Pastor Barton. Thank you. Your staff appreciates you. We pray the Lord continues to bless and guide you as you lead the ministry." And they gave a gift inside, a financial gift. And let me just say hallelujah. Thank you for that. I always feel odd about Bosses Day, because I don't feel like I'm a boss. I feel like I'm just a team member. I'm just a player, you know, on a team. And I always feel odd about the whole concept of Bosses Day. But I do appreciate it. I do. I don't deserve it, but I appreciate it. And I mean that, okay? Thank you very much. All right, let's seek the Lord together if we can. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, may your will be done, and may the mind of Christ be ours. Lord, I pray you'd help us to stand strong, and Lord, I pray that you'd help us to stand tall as we take a position, our Lord, of truth and righteousness. But Lord, I pray in the midst of that, and taking that stand, Lord, may our right position be complemented by a right disposition. And Lord, may the world truly see Jesus in me. Lord, pray it be so. And Lord, we're asking, Lord, you know the needs of those this afternoon. Lord, there's many that are perplexed and they don't know where to turn and what they're going to do. Lord, please, whether it's medical situations, whether it's housing situations, Lord, financial situations, Lord, you know. And so, Father, I'm praying that we might know what your will is in each one of these specifically. Lord, again, we're asking you to get us out of the way And Lord, may we just simply point people to the one who's able. And Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us in this hour. Lord, please, may we be found faithful in the days ahead. Lord, we'll give you the glory. Thank you for these days. Thank you, Lord, for these years of broadcasting. Thank you, Lord, for memories stretching back over 37 years. We thank you for that. Lord, help us not to live in a past. Help us not to become a museum. But Lord, may we truly be more excited about doing something for your glory tomorrow than we were yesterday. And we ask this and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being on board. Love to see you Sunday. If you can't come, tune in. AnchorBaptist.org, Anchor Baptist on Facebook. Pastor Randy Barton, until we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you, is our prayer.